This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Welcome, Talk Catholic, the website.com. Your host, Tim Kilcoyne. No agendas here, just the straight and narrow. Through Mary to Jesus, the Catholic faith proclaimed and preserved. Hope to see you here every week. Happy New Year from Talk Catholic with Tim Kilcoyne. Indeed, it is a new year, and usually also our first Saturday. We'll get back to our first Saturday interview next month with Father David Nix. Today, I'd like to offer Tim's New Year's intentions. Yes, sirree. I'll make sure they're not peripheral or shallow. Don't forget, starting the new year, your first Saturday devotions. Get these done. You want Our Lady there for you some big day. It starts with going to confession. If there was ever a message of all the Marian apparitions, repent and turn away from sin. It starts at that little box called the confessional, still on a Saturday afternoon. In most Catholic churches worldwide. Get that done and then go to Mass and receive our Lord. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. And perhaps my first New Year's intention would be on the tongue, preferably in accordance with church tradition all through the years, as opposed to communion in the hand, which took off under the pandemic, but was all part of the broader goals of the globalist communist element. That, yes, is at work in our church. We're going to strip the church of the supernatural. That is always a huge goal of the communist mind. And it starts by receiving in the hand casually. Receive on the tongue and call for the kneelers to return to your local parish. How dare I? Just saying. Another requirement of your first Saturday devotion. Be sure to say the rosary and reflect 15 minutes on a particular mystery of the rosary. And do this 5 consecutive Saturdays in a row. I'm trying to be ever faithful to spelling out the requirements that only Our Lady herself spelled out for us at Fatima. And don't forget Fatima in this new year, when we still don't have peace over there in Russia, Ukraine. She warned us, if we don't turn to God collectively, all humanity, then there are going to be problems. And it starts with Russia and her consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So urge your local pastor, as part of Tim's New Year's intentions, that you would like to be sure that the consecration of Russia has been done exactly according to the requirements that Our Lady spelled out. Doesn't get more important than that in 2026. We'll get back to our book review also in the second half today, Terror of Demons, Reclaiming Catholic Masculinity by Kennedy Hall. And there'll be other books that I use in treating this very issue of masculinity. I was just actually looking at a particular doctor of philosophy, I believe, on TV today. He wrote a book called The Last Men. His name, Dr. Charles Cornish Dale. In fact, this fellow was virtually banned from the UK because they found his ideas threatening about resurrecting the concept of masculinity. The subtopic of the book was liberalism and the death of masculinity. There is indeed a very important distinction about what masculinity truly does connote, what it represents for family life, the church, governments, etc. And we're going to dive deep into this. And, I hope you still love me afterwards. That's always at the heart of my New Year's intentions, because I have to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about a lot of tough issues that I shouldn't have to be talking about. That's the real problem. Brian T. Anderson wrote a book, Truth Overruled, The Future of Marriage and Family Life. And he said, when you have to tell people why the wheels are round, you know you got problems. And even though we had a political shift last year, it doesn't mean that the woke agenda has died. It's still alive and well in many places, especially your public school. And that would be part also of my New Year's intentions, that families, mothers and fathers in particular, take a good hard look at the textbooks that your children are taking home and be sure that things haven't been snuck in there by the hardcore intelligentsia that is typically in control of your school boards. You have to show up at that school board. You know, remember a gentleman in the golf business said to me, "The world is run, Tim, by those who show up." Very astute observation. So my New Year's intention is for all husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, to show up, to get involved, and get down to that local school board meeting and also your parish council meeting, and whatever other community service meeting is really important to bring about sanity in the moral realm. But my real first intention for the new year always has to speak to Holy Mother Church. I want our church to be strong, again, against the culture. All through my theological formation, going way back to the late 70s, it was always this post-Vatican II spirit that wanted to ingratiate with the culture, try to find the common denominators with the culture, where we can jive and dance together, and dialogue, let's not forget that word. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, nothing has changed in the order of original sin. And the world, well, the prince of this world is the devil himself. And we were told that by our Lord. So don't be expecting that the culture is going to sanctify the church. And that's kind of where we've been for all too many years now, and actually being so naive to think that secular institutions are all good. They just need to be understood better. And that all sin is more systemic to the institutions themselves, as opposed to personal sin based on choices made. This has been a lot of hogwash that was bought and sold going, as I said, back to my undergraduate theological days, oh, so many years ago now. And it's having its deadly net effect by a thing called wokeism, all right, which is just another word for evil. Let's not kid ourselves. And we've got to get back to being a strong church that is not fearful of the world and is willing to speak to that world and to bring it home to moral sanity. This is why I have constantly referred to the vacuous sermon that has got to change, because that is the primary center for catechesis. We don't have Catholic adult ed even today after 2,000 plus years everywhere at your local parish. We are still packaging Catholics at 10th grade as confirmed, and now the confirmation goes to 7 years of age with Holy Eucharist. So what happened to confirmation, really? We're not educating people to be able to make wise, difficult, but important decisions of commitment to our Lord. You have to know who our Lord is, and the only way you do that is by reading the scriptures and knowing Holy Mother Church's teachings. The teachings of the Catholic Church are going to tell you the mind and heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you continue to stay totally silent on those issues from the pulpit, well, you can talk a good game about knowing Jesus, but we'll never know him. So let's change that ASAP and watch the young people come home to the church again, instead of the baby boomers and up, right? I mean, you can see the crisis that's around the corner. The crisis is here because we just don't have those 15 to 55-year-olds in the pews. So something terrible took place over many decades of silence. And that silence has got to cease now that we have the airwaves at our disposal the way we do. And thank God for those airwaves, as Father Charles Murr said in a recent internet video. Thank God we have the free airwaves, and may we pray that they remain free along with sovereign countries. Because if any dictator figures out a way to control the airwaves, then we're really in big doo-doo. And we got a little bit of a flavor of this during the pandemic, so don't ever forget those few years. We got a real taste of dictatorship in your face. Sadly, remember, the church's leadership fell short of leadership, as the holy sacrifice of the Mass was shut down. So may we stand up St. John the Baptist style in 2026. Well, we still have some time to do so because we ain't out of the woods from the many globalist communist dictators that want to overrule this country, that is for sure. And those very people know that we're virtually one of the few countries left that is holding its own against that Antichrist onslaught. And the scary thing is that those globalist powers need a globalist vehicle, and they see it in the Catholic Church. So they are trying to exercise big-time influence, and they are. Which is exactly what St. John Paul II called communism, the Antichrist. My New Year's intention also reflects around the need to chill. I was just calling for an appointment, a 5,000-mile checkup appointment for my car. And I wasn't even sure what it was concerning. It's on the dash, you know, maintenance required soon. So I got this long runaround, and the woman on the other end was basically reading from a script all kinds of official language of trying to simply set up the appointment. The appointment could have been set up in about 30 seconds, and it ended up being almost 8-9 minutes. It was unbelievable. My point is that I pray that in the new year, people will start reading the signs and recognize that when you're given a script to read, someone else is trying to control. And that includes the priest from the pulpit. Chuck the script. It's time to speak in the Holy Spirit by virtue of the charism of ordination given to you. And be holy and be on fire. That's what we're looking for. Real men from the pulpit. When people see you looking down at a piece of paper, number one, they know that this is not coming from you. Why did you go through seminary? All that education, and yet you don't have the right to speak freely in the Holy Spirit? In 2026, may we see the emergence of what we should be calling evangelical Catholicism. You know, the kind we never have seen in our lifetime. Charlie Kirk style. Evangelical zeal is what we're looking for combined with truth. It's that combination that wins hearts. They know you're into it and real. And if bureaucrats are going to strangle anybody that wants to open up to the Holy Spirit in that way, then we are shortchanging God's people terribly, not to mention the secular world that's in a blackout morally. So that, again, is part of my New Year's wish. We have got to be ourselves. Authenticity in Grace, it's called. Grab a book by Father Thomas Dubay on the very theme. To be spontaneously yourself without duplicity. Does everyone know that word? It's everywhere. Putting on false masks, depending your audience. No, we can't be duplicitous, especially in the realm of ministry. But anywhere, you got to know who you're dealing with. And mean what you say and say what you mean, and then you know who you are. At least we'll know who you are. But when you constantly keep doing the accommodating, acquiescing kind of thing, depending the person in front of you, you end up completely compromised yourself with no backbone and spine or conviction. No character. That's where that all leads. Be yourself all the time, wherever. Which brings us to another forgotten word for 2026. And what is the source of that authenticity in the spiritual life? It all starts before the Blessed Sacrament. Go to Jesus. Sit and spend some time alone. I don't care if you're married with 15 kids. You got to go and spend some time with our Lord.
One on one.
Don't take for granted that your ministry is your family only. Yes, your ministry, if you're called to marriage and you have children, without question, that is your primary vocation.
Your domestic church.
And to educate those children in the faith is numero uno. But how do you fuel your fire? Where do your batteries get recharged? Take seriously the church's precepts about doing at least a yearly retreat alone or with men or women of the same sex. One time at least per year. St. John Paul II was big on this.
And too many people are just doing their own thing and they think they don't need a retreat because they're married and they got too many responsibilities. No, you're going to get all those responsibilities skewed in priority if you don't make sure that you're still with the Lord getting your wisdom. And that starts one-on-one, not just in prayer, but in the church and being together with like-minded in Christ through Mary. It's called fellowship. That's why going on retreats is so important. And it fosters that communal spirit, which is so much Catholic. Well, Tim's New Year's intentions and intentions in general could just keep going on, and they will. But I think I'll put them in the format of prayer in future shows. For this we pray to the Lord. Indeed, I promise for 2026 that my intentions will have substance. Let's get back to our new book review, Terror of Demons, Reclaiming Catholic Masculinity with Kennedy Hall. This is WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. Well, in our introduction to the book here, I was doing cartwheels as Kennedy Hall was referring to three strong men that were football coaches, but more so big-time Catholic warriors. Regular guys who hit their knees to pray. And that image, just that one image, and I relate to this because my father was on his knees
first thing in the morning and last thing to do in the evening by his bedside. And I should say that he was an altar boy from the very earliest of years, having lived almost right next to the rectory up at Holy Rosary in the acre of Clinton, Mass. So he developed some pretty darn good rituals for his regiment.
Never wavered in that. And how many times we as family may have passed Dad by saying his prayers. That is huge in terms of the indelible mark,
permanent and unchanging,
that it leaves on a person's soul. In fact, I often refer in my prayer to a very dear friend of my mom's. Her name was Catherine,
many years deceased.
And as a little boy, I remember Catherine at Mass after communion with her hands over her face
for a very long time
and praying so intently after receiving. And that just, if there's anything that inspired me in my prayer life, I'm sure, unknowingly at that age, nevertheless, the seeds were being planted by these images. You know, my 17-year-olds loved Mr. Kilcoyne's high school class because, yes, I enjoyed showing lots of video because I'm such a firm believer in use of audio and video to impress.
A picture is worth a thousand words.
Well, we know what else is impressing the mind by way of audio and video. It's trash, most of it, too often, in our culture. And so we need the images that will stick with us. And that's so important with regard to any discussion of masculinity, because it's kind of an abstract concept, isn't it? Not really if you see masculinity, but it's hard sometimes to define it. Well, anyway, Kennedy Hall is going to try now in his first chapter to try to show the relationship between the existence of the devil, the evil one, and whether or not we have that sense of patriarchal leadership at all amongst our fathers and men in general. You don't have to be married to be masculine. Okay, and it's not so much to do with your DNA either. This is more of a willed kind of thing. He starts chapter one with a couple of powerful quotes from St. Augustine. Not all, nor even a majority, are saved. They are indeed many, if regarded by themselves, but they are few in comparison with the far larger number of those who shall be punished with the devil. St. Augustine. St. Padre Pio. The devil is like a mad dog tied by a chain. Beyond the length of the chain, he cannot catch hold of anyone. And you, therefore, keep your distance. If you get too close, you will be caught. Remember, the devil has only one door with which to enter into our soul, our will. If you were to ask your average Catholic, Kennedy says, about the reality of the devil, sadly, I would imagine that many would scoff at the idea. Surveys show that most baptized Catholics do not believe in the infernal dragon and his henchmen. Even weekly Mass attendees have grown soft in their belief about the enemy. Sure, many will give lip service to the notion of some sort of personified evil force, quote-unquote, admit with hesitation that the devil is at work in evil people. But the idea that the devil and demons actively work to damn the average person is beyond the pale. The devil is a fallen angel, as is every demon. The account of the fall of Lucifer is in at least two places in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 17, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14 to 16. In both of these passages from the Old Testament prophets, we see the mention of the fallen angel Lucifer. Lucifer was highly regarded in the eyes of God, but due to pride, he was cast down as a punishment. Tradition and scripture hold that Lucifer was the highest of angels, thus his fall was the most drastic. The expression, quote, "the corruption of the best is the worst," would apply to Lucifer. The name Lucifer means morning star or bringer of light. It is ironic that other false religions speak of enlightenment. It is also telling that the most philosophically absurd and morally degenerate era in the last 1,000 years is called the Enlightenment. It makes you wonder where whence comes this source of light, quote-unquote. The reality of the devil is a scriptural truth. Furthermore, one need only consult the experiences of exorcists and saints. To deny the reality of the devil is to deny the teachings of the Catholic Church, and to deny the teachings of the Church is to cease to be Catholic. For a Catholic, it isn't enough to simply acknowledge the existence of the devil, any more than it isn't enough to simply acknowledge the existence of God. Understanding that God exists is the first step on the path to Catholicity. But what we do with this belief is more important. The devil believes in the existence of God, but that was not enough to keep him in God's good graces. In fact, Satanists believe in God, and many of them even believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. This is why consecrated hosts are often stolen for nefarious purposes. Sadly, the proliferation of communion in the hand has made the stealing of hosts more doable due to the careless nature in which many handle the body of Christ. You need to live as though God is real and not be satisfied with mere belief. You prove the strength of your belief in God by going to Mass, frequenting the sacraments, and living a moral life. Since the active and destructive work of the devil is seen throughout the history of the faith, we ought to take seriously and recognize that Satan's existence is a fact. Jesus Christ dealt directly with the devil and went beyond simply acknowledging his existence, so we should act accordingly. In the same manner, we must go beyond simple acknowledgement of the devil and make the transition from belief into action. The devil and his legions are constantly working to destroy your life, to tempt you to sin, and to bring you to hell. Therefore, you must be on the offense and not only in a reactionary or defensive posture. Some people have told me that they think I am too extreme or paranoid when I speak about the devil as a relentless enemy. They are mistaken. St. Peter told us, "Be sober and watch, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye, strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. The first pope makes it clear that the devil is a predator, like a roaring lion. This means that he preys on the vulnerable and loves to make a show of his power. It also means that we resist the devil by staying strong, as predators do not go after those they cannot overcome. The devil's like a madman who seeks to intimidate by posturing with loud noises.
Loud noises. That couldn't be our music on the car radio coming home from school. Loud noises. It couldn't be that squeaky wheel, that angry character at the school board committee meeting. Loud noises. That couldn't be the Super Bowl halftime show. Loud noises. Beware.
The devil is after all of us, especially those of us who seek to live in God's good graces. Through triumph over trials, we may establish ourselves amongst the elect who spend eternity with God. It is from God that we receive the grace necessary to withstand the evil one. It is simply a fact that the devil is constantly after you, and the sooner you recognize this fact, the sooner you can get to work.
Well, I just sought out today my good friend Father John. I went very deliberately to him to get a healing and deliverance prayer. Gee, why would I get such a thing? Well, I have a touch of sciatica for the healing part, which follows an eye floater problem, which follows bruised ribs for most of the fall. Just
timely coincidence, one after the other. But the deliverance prayer comes with the territory of what we're doing right here every week, taking on the issues of the day straight on, which puts me potentially on the radar of everyone, which includes the jerk, the prince of this world. And we who are in that arena need your prayers constantly, and I do ask sincerely for them. Anybody on the airwaves in ministry is out there. But it's all about sanctification. Nothing easy about it, but tremendously rewarding. Right here at WQPH Radio 89.3 FM, giving you the advice of St. Peter, stay sober and be clear-minded about your task for 2026. Happy New Year. Blessings indeed. Let your light shine. That is what it's all about here at WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. But we need to hear your story. You want your voice to be his voice. That is making the faith known to others. Please, my number is 877-625-3727. Tim Kilcoyne, talkcatholic.com. St. Mother Teresa told us, your ministry is your work right where you are. Grab on to this microphone. God bless.